It's the Almost Perfect Podcast.
Welcome to the Almost Perfect Podcast, a celebration of fuck-ups, failures, and falling flat on your face. This is a podcast that believes you can learn from experience, but that experience doesn't have to be your own. Ha, I'm but perfect, and I'm a functional fuck-up. Let's learn from somebody else's mistakes. And today we're learning from Judd Campbell. Now, Judd is a restaurateur, and if you are a Durbanite, you have no doubt been to one of his restaurants or coffee shops. They've been sprinkled all over Glenwood and Morningside over the last few years. Corner Cafe was the first thing that he started up with Anna Savage. And since then, it's just, you know, been opening one new thing after the other. The latest being a Pizza My Heart, which is a pizza restaurant. Go figure. It's just around the corner from me, actually. It's on Bulwer Road there at, I think, 106 Bulwer Road now, where Earth Mother Organic used to be. And yeah, it's a interesting time to be opening a new restaurant. We had this chat slightly, like just before all the COVID stuff, you know, really took off. Like it was bubbling under when we had this conversation. And so we don't really get into that on this topic, thankfully. We discuss other things. And I think at this time, we definitely need to maybe be talking about some other things, you know? Because life out there is a little bit rough at the moment, and it does look like things are going to get rougher. It's not, you know, this COVID thing hasn't really hit South Africa hard yet. And judging by, you know, what's happened all around the world, we've only just, you know, started to see the beginning of these things. So I hope all of you stay safe, stay inside. We've got a lot of Almost Perfect podcasts in the bank for you to listen to. There's like 50, I think this is episode 59. It's either 58 or 59. And so we've got 50 odd other episodes for you to listen to. And yeah, man, just read a book. This year in general has been my book reading year. I've gotten back into it. Like, my friend Pascal lent me a book called Atomic Habits. And through that, it's actually, you know, put me on a good path this year, I guess. And so I've been reading a lot more. I've been exercising a lot more. And so, yeah, this is time to prison it up, I guess. I was going to say a bit, I guess. So now I've said all of it. But that's the vibe. Yeah, we're definitely in, like, you know, if you can stay at home, if you can try and minimize your interactions with other people, obviously not just for yourself, but, you know, to protect everyone, and then try and do that. And if you are stuck doing that, then yeah, reading some books, taking a course on Coursera, or, you know, getting the Nike Training Club app and doing some push-ups is not a bad way to spend your time. Other than that, What can we talk about, guys? What can we talk about? It's been a bit of a chaotic little while. I've been updating the Patreon. Some of you know about the Patreon, patreon.com/almostperfect. That is a place where you can go to support this podcast. I've added a new level there. It's a $10 level, which seems hella ambitious at a time when people are losing their incomes. But maybe you're not one of those people. I am, unfortunately, taking a bit of a knock. One of my clients that I write for is not going to have as much money going forward for the next few months, probably. And then also a couple gigs I had lined up are no longer happening. One of which was going to be at a Pizza My Heart, but we're going to still do that in due course. Judd and I kind of chatted about it a little bit on this podcast, but yeah, we're going to be doing some comedy at a Pizza My Heart when we can. Hopefully we can. Like, yeah, I'm hoping. Alternatively, I know that there are Durbanites doing some cool things. We might have an online show for you. And as soon as that happens, I'll let you know about it. But as I was saying, the Patreon account, I've set up a $10 level there called the Titular Titles tier. And this tier is for those of you who have a bit of an ego on you and you want to have your name read on this cast every single week. At the end of the cast, what we're going to do is for the people at the $10 level, you can pick your title for the show. You can become a part of the cast of this, well, not cast, the crew of this show. You can, you know, be Bob Perfect's personal weed roller if you want to. You can be the guy who hands me my cell phone when, you know, a call is worth answering. There's a lot of options there. You can make it up yourself, you know. So go on over to patreon.com/almostperfect and sign up there. And if you do that, you will be receiving an Almost Perfect mug towards the end of May. Because, yeah, I'm getting some mugs made at the end of May. And, yeah, you will be able to buy them if you're not a patron. But if you are a patron, then I will just send one to you. So go on over to patreon.com/almostperfect. And, yeah, help me out a little bit. Help me help you. Yeah, help me help you. I hope this podcast does help you. And I hope this conversation helps you if you've been looking to get into the restaurant industry, or, you know, you're just someone who wants to be a bit of an entrepreneur, or maybe you're at the bottom rungs of this restaurant game. I've been a waiter. Judd was a waiter back in the day. And, you know, like, for me, it wasn't for me. I'm not a big fan of customer satisfaction, I guess. You know, like, I don't give a fuck about the customer. I don't care if you're happy. I'm just here to make my money and fuck off home at the end. So, yeah, not for me. I did the waitering thing, but a lot of other people do care about customer service. They do. They love it. Judd is one of those people that absolutely loves talking to people and making sure they have a good time at his restaurants. And so if you're someone like that, if you love, you know, the hospitality industry, then there's a lot to learn from this conversation. I mean, Judd left his home with $100 in his pocket and started waitering, and, you know, is now where he's at today. He has had some help along the way, and he's teamed up with a lot of, you know, really great people, or a lot of creative people, and that's led to his success. So, like I said, there's a lot to learn from this one in these trying times. Other than that, head on over to Facebook at the Almost Perfect Podcast. Give us a like there. You can also follow us on Twitter at @almost_podcast. We are on Instagram at @almostperfectpodcast. And you can subscribe on whichever podcast platform you are listening to this on. Especially if it's your first time, just go hit the subscribe button at the top there. And if you're on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, as it's called these days, why don't you leave a little review there? Just say, hey, that was a really dope interview, even though you haven't listened to it yet. Just go do that for me. I'd appreciate that. And without further ado, that brings us to the Almost Perfect Podcast with Judd Campbell. Cool. So how are you living, Judd Campbell? How are you living?
I'm living fantastically, thanks.
Living in mansions and Benzes, or?
No, not at all. I think it's been a bit tough in hospitality the last couple of years, but I'm not wanting for anything. I'm just not putting enough away.
Okay, well, you say, like, it's been a tough year in hospitality, but you keep opening restaurants.
The easy part is opening them. It's keeping them busy is the difficult part.
Okay, but I mean, quite a few of them have stayed open.
Yeah, look, I've had a lot of good luck, a good run. The Corner Cafe was 8 years, which is, it's like 100 years in dog years for a restaurant.
It's, yeah, if you make it past five, that's...
Yeah, if you can make it past like one, it's good. And then 50% apparently failed in the second year. And then we got very lucky. But it was the right time. The area was ready for it. I think it was just far enough off the beaten track so you could park. There was a million little things that just worked with a Corner Cafe. So to give it 8 years was good.
So kind of Corner Cafe was your first restaurant that you started?
It was the first time I ever owned a restaurant, yeah.
Okay, that was with Anna Savage.
Anna Savage, the great Anna Savage, amazing cook, amazing chef.
Also someone who's done a lot for Durban, so...
A hell of a lot, yeah, she is... She's got an eye, eh? She really does.
Definitely.
Yeah, like that market is just, I went there on the weekend. It's nice.
That's something that's grown just over and, like, you know, over the years. I remember when it was at Greyville, and I think it might have even been in other places. And it's just, it's cool to see, like, how, you know, some Durbanites do that. It starts off, you know, with a restaurant like Corner Cafe. She then went on to Unit 11 and then now has Our Heart Markets. You were saying that you started out, you know, as a waiter manager kind of situation, and then went into restauranteering, and now you've just carried on with that. You know, now you've become almost this institutional person in Durban who's known for it.
Yeah, look, I fell upon waitering quite by accident. I was actually I was thrown out of the house for failing my trick. So I hitched to Durban. My dad gave me $100, and I hitched to Durban.
Well, that's at least kind.
I thought it was very nice until I got to this Steer. What's in Musgrave Center there? The Steers.
Well, now
it was the Spur.
Okay.
And I bought a chicken schnitzel with cheese sauce for $27.95, and I was down to 70 rand. And I'd only been in Durban 40 minutes, so I knew I had to do something. And yeah, I went to Circus, asked for a job, and it's been waitering ever since. It was kind of to put some money aside to get to Cape Town to do a film course. I was always interested in film. I wanted to be a director, apparently everyone does. And I was preferring the waitering, even in Cape Town, to pay for the course than the actual course. So it wasn't a conscious decision to go into hospitality. It was all that was available if you don't have a matric, kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I got into the waitering business when I was about 16. It was my first, like, official job. And then I carried on doing that until about 23, 24, because it is, you know, one of those jobs you can do without qualifications.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is be able to talk to people and remember stuff, typically. Although I assume from your side, it's a lot harder than that.
Yeah, look, I mean, I try, whenever I go into a restaurant or into the one of the cafes, I always try to position myself so that I'm not doing cash ups. I'm not managing staff as much. You know, sometimes you can't. The Corner Cafe, I think the balance was good there. And the new one I've opened, the pizza shop, is nice. We put systems in place so that I can spend time on the floor, which is what I do. You know, I can't cook like the great Emma Savage or Marcel Roberts or whatever. So you try. The concept behind Pizza My Heart was to have a simple menu.
Yeah.
So I could still handle back of house and front of house. And yeah, I mean, I've absolutely loved being on the floor, and no 2 days are the same. And like we were saying earlier, you know, to work nights again is bloody marvellous.
Marvellous? You're actually enjoying it?
Well, you know, hospitality, I'm not going to be cheesy to say it's a calling, but you either love it or you don't. And the guys who... I love it because it's always a different... it's always a different scenario. You don't know who's coming through the door. You don't know who's going to complain, who's going to compliment you, what staff are going to give you shit. It's always a constantly evolving thing. And when you do it for 15 years every night and then you stop. I stopped in 2007, I think, when I opened the Corner Cafe because we were a day restaurant. And then I've basically finished Netflix. I've finished.
You've reached the end of Netflix
for me to watch. I've had to go back and look at some of the earlier Sopranos.
You know, some people are going to be like, "How though? You've got like how many restaurants do you have at the moment?"
I've got two coffee shops, Coffee Tree 1 and 2.
Yeah,
I've got Politics, which is a political chicken shop in Carrington Heights.
Okay, I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, it's chicken for the people. It's a little hole in the wall. The area's been rezoned by the ANC for student accommodation, so you've got Grahamstown, Stellenbosch, and Carrington Heights.
Okay.
So we didn't know that. I sound like we saw the writing on the wall and made a good investment. We just found a shop and the rent was low and we knew chicken sold, and it was that simple. The original name was Chicken and Chips.
Okay.
So people said, do you do...
I mean, I've got 3 chicken and chip shops literally within 50 meters of my flat. So.
And there's a reason for it.
Yeah.
So we've gone in there and done that. And that is also very, very easy. I haven't been there in 3 weeks. It's actually never done this well, so maybe I shouldn't be in it. But it's small. It's a hole in the wall. It's feeding a well-cooked, well-priced product to the masses. And it's designed around the students. And the students, for the first 3 months, didn't come in. But next month, I think, is a year. And it's just really starting to take off now. So that's good. So it's 2 coffee shops, a chicken shop. And now I've just opened a Pizza of My Heart.
Okay. And... how are you managing your time between the different places? It's just a bit, as you say, you've got
you systems want an average in place. Day.
Actually, yeah, let's walk through your day.
I wake up at about 5 a.m. By then I check all the WhatsApps that have come through from the 4 different shops, and they will be shopping lists, what I need to get. I'll WhatsApp the different suppliers so they get them before 8 a.m.
Because coffee shops have to open early as well.
Well, the Coffee Tree opens at 5:45. Yeah, it has for 7 years now, yeah.
I would hate to work for you, because that was my worst part, was working morning shifts. Like, I just could never do it.
Oh, no, God, it's the best. It's the best. And it's the Coffee Tree one, the Glenwood one, it's like a little club. It's the same people every morning. It's one guy, Keith Hockley, he's been there.
Oh, yes, I know who Keith is.
Gunslinger.
Yeah.
So he's been there literally, I think he's missed maybe 3 mornings in 7 years.
Wow.
And you panic when he's not there. Something's wrong. You know?
Yeah.
But he's had a meeting somewhere else or whatever. So you place your orders and then it is 6 o'clock. The shop's opened. You go down to get a cup of coffee. The things that can't be delivered, a handful of rocket or top up milk or whatever, you go at 8 o'clock and I get whatever I need for the shops. I do this big wide arc where I go Windermere Centre, drop off the stuff at Cowie Road, drop off the stuff at Coffee Tree 2, and whatever never needs to go to politics, and then I'm done. Like 9 o'clock, I've actually got very little to do. I'm on my 4th double espresso. I'm shaking like a bloody leaf. And then you're waiting for a piece of my heart to open. A lot of people think I juggle a lot, and it really isn't that hard.
Yeah, you're making restaurateurs sound pretty easy.
Well, it is if they're small. They're 25 seaters, the coffee shop. The chicken shop seats 10. And it's all done via WhatsApp. So it's a lot easier these days. It's the software tells you what you need to order, the what you're running low on. It really isn't that hard.
And obviously hiring the right staff.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I think that is the big trick, and that is the problem in I don't think just hospitality. Everyone battles with staff. And we've got it down now. Look, we've gone through a lot of staff, but the staff we've got at all the shops now are solid. You know, they... Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, I know Coffee Tree does have a good reputation for having friendly staff.
Yeah.
And the small shop aspect, is that intentional? You prefer it?
Yeah, it's like I say, it's manageable. And wherever you, back to staff again, wherever you've got 4 or 5 staff, you're going to have 4 or 5 times more problems. You know, we've got...
I'm sick today.
Exactly. Like, the bus didn't work. This is how I can't. My mother would rather I stayed at home. It's that... Do the problems disappear? And you put everyone on an hourly wage and no one's late.
Yeah, because they're going to actually make money.
Yeah, you put them on a straight salary, they're all going to, like, you know, they take 2 days off a week. It is that the staff we've got now are very good at all the shops. So I think that is the trick. You start to... I don't think I've learned much, you know, other than when you're sitting down with a staff member for an interview, you get a feeling right off the bat and you take it or you don't. You know, you either go with your gut or you don't. And I think that's where, if I've learned anything, I've learned to know who's going to be trouble down the line and who's not. So,
and how, like, if you get a feeling someone's going to be trouble down the line, what does it take for that person to get hired?
An act of God.
Really?
Yeah, I know. You know, I managed that restaurant home.
You did home as well.
Yeah.
Home was amazing.
Yeah, I love that place. That was my intro to Durban.
Oh, wow. Because that place was just one of the coolest places Durban has ever had.
It was amazing. It was amazing. Literally, it's where I was introduced to Durban. It's where I met literally every muso.
Yeah, they were all a bit older than me. Like, I was quite young when home was. I was about 16, 17. And, like, I would go and, like, just be amazed. This culture that exists.
It was like, it was Sunday, we ran a queue. It made no sense. It was the weirdest bloody setup. But, you know, designed by Disturbance Design. And it pumped, and we needed a little bit off the wall staff there. You know, you couldn't have the normal staff because you just needed freaks. And we had this questionnaire to get the right staff, and I can't remember, some of the questions were like, an alien ship came down, you're allowed to take 3 people, no family members, no animals. And the ones who didn't bat an eyelid, you know, the ones who just pushed out, there was this one girl, Caroline, I forget her surname, she was cooked, she had half her head was shaved. She would go to a family of 5 and offer absinthe, you know, and the kids were like 12, 15.
I know the type.
Absolutely cooked, but she was the one who, I mean, when you ask her who you could take on the alien ship, she kind of seemed like someone had just asked her that question.
So she had an answer.
She took 3 musicians, but right off the bat, she knew who she was taking. The ones who were like, is this really the questionnaire? Never got the job. You know?
Yeah, I would be one of those ones who's like, is this really the questionnaire? Like, the other day, well, a couple of months ago, I had a job interview and the person was asking me, like, you know, why is a manhole cover round and stuff like that? And I'm just like, I get that you're trying to, like, you know, test my problem solving skills here, but this is a completely pointless conversation to me. Like, I just want to get to the point of stuff a bit more.
Are they all right?
Pardon? Yeah, because it's so that they don't fall in, I think. And also because of people going down. Like, it makes it easier. They don't get caught on the edges. Apparently, that's what she told me.
Good to know.
Yeah. So if you ever get asked that,
this chat, yeah.
Yeah, if you ever get asked in a job interview.
I'm ready.
You're ready.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Waitering does bring about, like, it does attract a pretty crazy type of person. I can imagine over the years you've dealt with some.
I've worked with some of the weirdest. I worked with this guy in London named Raimondo. He couldn't speak a word, and I'm not exaggerating, a single word of English unless it was from a song or a movie.
Okay.
And he was very short. He had fangs. And I was the only non-Italian working at this restaurant called Grassini London. First floor of the Hyatt Carlton. It was beautiful. It was the most beautiful venue I've ever worked in. The light switch was bigger than the door. It was, you turned them on, all touchscreen. It was the most beautiful restaurant. But I wasn't Italian, so I was, you were
ostracized.
Yeah. And they all spoke behind your back. And he would say the weirdest things. He obviously watched some movies back in the 70s or something, and he would say things like, "This is your last chance to evacuate the earth before it is recycled." And for no reason, he would say that 3 or 4 times a day. Nothing. I couldn't talk to him. Where are you from? And he would just say these weird little bloody sayings. They came.
He obviously watched the movies, yeah.
He watched the movies, and then he would, like, he would say, if you heard someone say love, he would say, "What's love got to do with it? Whoa." And then, so, you had this, like, and him and I would go into Hyde Park and smoke hash in our breaks, and he would not be able to have a conversation with us.
So you would be smoking, you'd be hanging out.
And not a word between us spoken other than something he would say that made no sense. I couldn't talk to him. He didn't understand what I was saying.
I guess that there's a part of traveling, like, you get into situations like that. Did you spend a lot of time in Europe?
I did 3 years for the Hyatt. I won an award which allowed me to choose with the Hyatt where I wanted to go, and I chose. I was taking the waitering quite seriously.
What do you mean? Like, you won an award?
I won a thing called Exceeding Guest Expectations over the Millennium. It was a fluke, bro. I mean, I sound like a hero. Some lady was
didn't even know this was, like, something.
Yeah, in the Hyatt chain is Hyatt, Hilton, Radisson. Yeah. The Hyatt have an award called Exceeding Guest Expectations every year, and this family of 5 came in, and she just started screaming, the mom. And the kids started crying, and we didn't know what, we panicked and everything. So we separated the kids and we gave them ice cream and colouring in books. The husband stood up and walked out, and she just sat at this big round table crying. And I sat next to her. I didn't do anything other than just sit next to her. I mean, I freaked out. Luckily, the restaurant was quiet. And she just cried, and my shirt was wet. And she left. And that was that. This was, I don't know, when,
so
October, November.
So you were literally
November,
just a shoulder to cry on.
Literally. And in December, they had this big award ceremony. They closed up all the banqueting rooms, and all the staff, there's 460 staff at the Hyatt Carlton, and they call us all in, and they go through all the awards. But before, I had an appraisal the day before, and the guy's name was Edward Harvey. He said to me, "Okay, where do you see yourself?"
Ed Harvey.
Edward Harvey. And he was playing Travis loud. I couldn't even hear him in this appraisal. It's a strange cat, eh? Anyway, so I'm in this room getting this appraisal done, and he said, "Where do you want to be next year?" And I said, "Well, I want your job." And he said, "You can't handle my job. Firstly, you've got a shaved head and a goatee, and you absolutely, I know you were with the girl from Switchboard because she gives you the free phone calls back home." And so I had a bit of a reputation for being an absolute, like, I'm South African, we're cocky little shits, you know?
Yeah.
He said, but I said, "So you're saying it's a no?" And he said, I'll tell you what, if Michael Gray was our GM, and we saw him twice a year, and it was at these events, otherwise you never saw the Oak, he's like a spook. He was on like £400 an hour, and he was like God. But like I said, I was there for 3 years, I think I saw him twice. And he said, "When Michael Gray says your name, you pick the hotel, we'll send you anywhere you want to go." I said, "Oh, that's super, super." And that was that. I was laughed off, and then the next day we had exceeding guest expectations. They go through all the little awards in the housekeeping, bravo, and this one, bravo. And then he says, and this year I've got a letter to read to you for exceeding guest expectations. And this lady laid it on so thick. This is the epitome of management. He held me through my darkest hour, and I'm just like, you're shitting me. This can't be me. And then this Michael Gray says, so this year it goes to Judd Campbell. I fucking stood up. I walked past Edward Harvey, who was sitting there, just tapped his shoulder, and he just fucking just shook his head. And I put in my transfer. It was to Yemen. So when my contract finished, in September, I could go to Yemen, Oman, and my fallback, you have to choose three, and my fallback was Hawaii. Yemen and
Your fallback was Hawaii.
Well, I was crazy about waitering. I was so productive in those. I'm not like I am now in slops and shorts and a fucking hat. I was a serious waiter, if there's such a thing. And there is in Europe, but just here, it's a little bit frowned upon. Cost me a few girlfriends, you know, that I don't really like.
There are a few people like that I know who are career waiters and career bartenders, and they're amazing at the job, and they make lots of money doing it. Like,
well, that was always the way I wanted to go. And then 9/11 happened. Fucking trains into the trade center. You couldn't even get fired. You couldn't get hired. They weren't hiring, firing, or transferring. So, literally, after winning the award, I was September. They flew the planes. October, I was home. And that was the end of my European campaign.
Damn, like, I didn't expect...
No, we didn't.
That's having an effect. Like, I guess we're kind of dealing with, not 9/11, but coronavirus is going to have similar effects. Like,
yeah, where were you in Corona? Where were you in the plates? I think... It was the end of one chapter and the beginning, and I came straight from there to Grill Room Cafe. So from... You know, serving Pavarotti and holding Rachel and Rod's kids while they got divorced to, we didn't, there was nobody, you know, it was, oh, Derek Watts came in, you know, there was never, which was cool, but it was a different thing, and I think.
So do you miss, like, yeah, that?
I do miss it. I miss the, you know, we used to take our suits out of plastic, you know, put them on every day. And it was a serious job. It was leather shoes and ties were flown in from Italy. It was beautiful, you know, but it wasn't... I think enough time's passed now to realise that I'm more of a Durban guy, you know, to... I want to go to work in slops. I like this lifestyle. You know, if the relationship I got with my daughter, I would never have that in the UK or anywhere else, you know. Durban is... And more in particular, Glenwood. It's just like...
Yeah, I was going to chat to you about, like, your love of Glenwood, because you seem to do everything here.
Oh, no, fuck, I love it. It's, like we were talking about home restaurant, it was, you know, a different crowd. We were all early 30s, partying, everything was great, listening to live music. We had just left the coke and everything behind, and we were moving into some jazz on a Sunday. Now those people have all got children, and... They're all living in Glenwood. You know, some have moved north, some have, but it's...
Yeah.
You know, you got 1.5, 2 kids in Glenwood, start a family. These are who I am. That's who I am now. And that's why a piece of my heart is designed around that, you know. If 20 years ago, 10 years ago, home was the right thing. It was... And if you're not trying to be all-encompassing, I'm now trying to have a place for my friends, my age bracket. And I don't think you can do that anywhere else but Glenwood. I can't.
Not Hillcrest or Westfall or anything like that?
No. It's, you know, you hear that Hillcrest is pretentious or Cape Town is no one will talk to you. It's not that at all. It's just, I'm a Glenwoodian, you know. It's where I want
to
be.
What does that mean? What is a Glenwoodian?
We're a lot more relaxed. We're happy to go to work in slops. There's a big focus on family. Everyone wants to get involved and make the area nicer.
I think there's art all around.
We're a lot more arty. We're a lot, not that I am, but I seem to gravitate towards those kind of people.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've definitely got a love for the creative, like,
soul. Yeah, all my friends are the guys who designed the corner cafe and the...
Yeah, look at your places. You've got Ewoks work everywhere.
It's always bloody Ewok. And that's, we like a team now. We've got Brandon Robertson as the architect.
Oh, cool. My girlfriend's dad, like her stepdad.
Paid?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't realize you and Brandon worked together.
That's awesome. Brandon designed the Corner Cafe. Brandon designed everything.
Oh, wow.
It's always Brandon. It costs me a lot of money because he's quite out there.
The whole corner cafe was
every time he walked in, it was another $20,000. for another window, you need this here. But he's incredible. Obviously, he's very talented. So we've got Ewok, we've got Brandon Robertson, we've got Hello Pocket, that is the logo people, Cara Bush.
Yeah, yeah.
And Stewie, they are. Every time we need a logo, I need a logo for a pizza shop? And they're like, does it have to have a heart? Yeah, it has to have a heart.
Yeah, because all your stuff
anything else? No, nothing else. That's it. And they don't ask questions, and I don't give them any sort of mandate or a list of parameters. Because what the fuck do I know about design, you know? But they're the best. Brandon's the best. Ewok's the best. So you just, we're lucky that we move around like a little click. It's cool. Yeah, I can't see myself opening anything else without everybody like that on board. They are.
And they're also Glenwoodians, essentially. Like.
They're Glenwoodians. They love the ideas. They like not having. I think a lot of them, like Brandon, will have to do, I don't know, maybe sometimes an office park or something that's not as exciting.
Creative, yeah.
And I know Munchkin, sorry, not Munchkin, her real name's Cara. Call her Munchkin. You know, they will have to change the packaging on a chip pack or something.
Yeah,
I think to get no parameters. I think it's quite cool for them to
have some freedom.
Freedom.
And you trust them because you've worked with them.
Yeah, they've never given a bum logo, not once, you know. And I've had little tuck shops at schools too, at Chelsea Prep and Glenwood Prep, and they've done the logos for that, and it's always been a heart. In fact, the politics was the first non-heart in my logo.
Oh, why though? Like, what's the
because heart? I had a partner, Jono, he's a lawyer, strange cat, and I just wanted one thing that wasn't. I don't know why. It was just, I think if I could go back now, I probably would put we talked about, there was no room for it. We wanted, you know, the jowls of the chicken, that to be like a heart, or the crown to be a heart.
But it would be upside down.
Yeah, and it just never fitted. And also, you've got to think,
maybe do the beak.
Yeah, we wanted, everything had to be a stamp too, so it didn't leave enough room for that, I think. I think that was one of the reasons. Also, we wanted to, we're still looking at franchising though, so if you've got 10 of them and they, you know, you don't want your little heart involved in it too, we might have to let that go at some stage and let other people run with my heart. I don't think that's very good.
Okay, well, so what, you would never franchise a coffee tree?
No ways. No.
I mean, it could be a brand, it could be...
No, it could be a lovely brand, and I think we might look at opening more, but...
You'll always be the one...
Yeah, well, I'd rather always be at the helm of it. Not that I'm the best at it, it's just I would rather have the control, and I wouldn't want it to become a Volvotello or anything else. I want it... It's 25-seater. You know, if someone big takes it... there's obviously more money if it's a 50-seater, and then you kind of lose what it is. And like you said,
and then it stops being the brand that it is.
Yeah, and they're not huge money makers, but they cover the school fees, they cover the car, medical aid, so they're cool. They're nice little things to have, and I haven't paid for coffee and.
You're still paying for the coffee.
15 years, but yeah, that's true. I never saw it like that. Damn it.
Shit. It depends if the customers are buying them, then you're doubling up.
It's quite hard to get them to, and it's lovely. It really is a club, eh? Those coffee trees are fantastic.
Do you think part of the success of your restaurants has been your personality? Because like you say, you love being on the floor, and a lot of owners of restaurants don't even like being at the shop, you know. So
I think it is. You know, I think I get asked that a lot too. What do you think of the success of it is? And I think it is that, but it's not. It's also the downfall, you know. If you're not there, or you're shooting out to the shop or whatever,
then people don't get that experience.
Yeah. I can go to the bathroom and come out, and the coffee's all cold, and everyone's angry, and nothing's changed. But now that I'm on the floor, it's great again. You know, nothing's changed. In fact, I can't make coffee nearly as good as my staff. I've won awards for coffee, and I can't do any latte art. My staff are the ones that do it. And I think that's where coffee trees morphed a little bit. Now I've got some customers, Sandy Thompson, Jill McGar, and if I'm on the machine, they're like, ooh, would you mind just stepping aside? Which is cool, you know. But again, I shouldn't be behind the machine. That's a waste of my time. You know, I should be on the floor. Okay. I love being on the floor. And it is the reason it's successful, I think. But it's hardly a chore. You know, I love to run around. And you don't actually realize, you get to 5 o'clock, the day is gone, and you've had an absolute jaw. And it's, sure, it's a lot to do with ridiculous amounts of coffee. But it is the reason it's busy. It is the reason it's success, I think. And it's by no means a chore going to work. And I think that's more than, yes, I'm happy on the floor. Yes, I love what I do. But I haven't worked in bloody years. I mean, really.
And that's the dream, isn't it?
Yeah, right. I think so. My brother was given a book once, how to do a 2-hour work week. And he said he's not prepared to do another hour. And that's kind of his life too. You know, he set it up so that he opens up a factory. And everyone comes in and they start restoring antique furniture, and he goes to the beach, and then he comes back and locks. He's on site for 20 minutes a day. I think you have to love what you do, obviously. And that's Glenwood too. You know, Glenwood is a lot of everything's, the owners are more visible, you know. Yeah. Look at like Saviour and the Pedros down the road, and what's his name at Bean Green? He's always on site. He's forget his name, man. And he's from the Bluff, like me.
Yeah, that's why he loves his Bluff coffee.
Yeah, you know, they're there. So, and that is, I think Glenwood's a tough nut to crack. If you can come in here and you can open something and it works, you've done well because but you've
you
impressed.
You have to be a part of the community.
Yeah, you've impressed the community and you're part of the community. And it's cool like that.
And you came in here, like you said, how long ago? 8 years was Corner Cafe Ormore?
Corner Cafe, well, I was working at Jossie's first. I was waiting for a visa to Scotland when 2005, 2006, I think. And I waiting for the papers to come through, and I went to Daryl Hoffman, who owns Jossie's, and I said, listen, I'm going to need some, I want to get back on the floor again and practice. He says, well, don't you want to manage? I said, no, hell no, I don't want to manage your restaurant. I want to be on the floor.
Okay, yeah, well, before we carry on, why didn't you want to manage?
It's not me. I'm not a manager type. I'm a waiter. I know it sounds a little silly, but I'm front of house waitering. That's what I can do. I cringe when it gets to 8 o'clock and I've got to start doing a cash up. You know, it's not me. The mathematical side is,
yeah,
I would have got him a trick had I known what to do there.
See, I'm fine with that. Like, the math stuff's fine. It's just the managers do more work. Like,
they do. The first thing they ask us to leave, it makes no bloody sense. I don't want keys.
Exactly.
I didn't have keys to the Corner Cafe. I don't have... I've got a spare key upstairs in my flat for Coffee Tree 1. I don't have keys for Coffee Tree 2. I don't have keys for Politics.
So you're just good at delegating then?
I think I am, and I think a lot of it comes from more laziness than cleverness. I think it's...
You just develop systems.
Chad, we're out of chicken. Sorry, bro, I don't have keys. You're going to have to wait. You know? Otherwise, I have to drop everything and shoot.
So that's actually just like putting the responsibility on other people entirely then.
Yeah, and that's why I was petrified to come back from London, because I knew I was going to become this person. You know, in London, I was filing bank statements. I was dating intellectuals. I was neat. I was... And yeah, I'm just...
I'm chilled,
I'm happy, I'm calm.
But that's the thing, you're still successful, so
you can be, and I think you can only be in Durban with that attitude. I think if I did what I'm doing in Joburg, I think I'd have to
up my game a bit. Melville, like, I don't see people being like super friendly. Like,
funny enough, I just went to Melville, and I've literally never got out of the plane. I got out of the plane, got onto another plane. That's as much as I've done in Joburg. And before the research for the pizza place, I phoned a friend, the girl who actually filmed my first wedding, Nikki Troll. She's a producer for Carte Blanche. And I said, listen, I need to come to Joburg. I need to learn everything about pizzas. I finished Cape Town, Durban.
I read that interview with you.
Yeah, I want to understand everything. And the first place to went to was Melbourne. And when I opened Corner Cafe... Oh, everywhere. And walked up and down those roads. We literally went into every restaurant, but it was the pizza ones I was focusing on.
Yeah.
But Melville was explained to me...
They got the place Jai Jai, I think it's called. It's a kind of like a tropical, like it's kind of a Mozambican vibe.
Yes. The big yellow paint outside.
They weren't open yet when we got there. They do such a good pizza.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hit the ground running. There's literally 30 restaurants. But Corner Cafe was always described as, wow, this would fit perfectly into Melville.
Yeah.
So when I got to Melville, and it's true, that's exactly, and I think that's what it was. It was the first.
Glenwood feels like a safer Melville.
Yeah. Look, it's lovely, but there's a lot of places right on top of each other, you know, which is cool. The best was a place called Coalition. That was the most amazing pizza I have ever eaten.
Okay, I haven't tried that because I do Melville Comedy Club quite a bit when I'm up in Joburg, so I'll go check them out.
Really? I'm going up on Saturday, and Sunday night is the first thing. Is definitely going to Coalition. Where were we? Did we digress?
We were originally talking. About Yossi's, you didn't want to manage.
Yeah. So I started waitering at Yossi's / managing, and a girl came in and I gave her my business card and I married her 2 years later. Never got to Scotland. And then opened Corner Cafe. Corner Cafe was great. Eventually got my wife at the time, Jeannie, to come on board because Anna moved out.
What made you start Corner Cafe? Like, you can't just say, and then decided to open Corner Cafe.
I've always tried to open a restaurant. I've always wanted a restaurant. The timing wasn't right. I was either fresh off the plane or about to get on a plane. Money was huge. My dad cashed in his medical aid and his retirement for the Corner Cafe. $291,000.
Your dad had kicked you out and gave you $100. Wow. Like, so how did that happen? Like,
I think he must have seen the happiness of running around restaurants.
That you weren't so useless.
Yeah, he never thought I was useless. He was saying, and I spent all the money on the education and there's nothing to show for it at the end. Do you want more money? It's like, whoa. I'd love some. Here's $100,000. And I hitched to Durban with a girlfriend's mom. And that's kind of how it's started. And I think, I don't think I was ready before Corner Cafe to open a restaurant. Also, I needed a shit hot chef too, you know. Yeah. I didn't want to open it. And I knew I could keep them on the floor if they'd come in. And I knew I had a certain amount of faith in myself that I would keep a restaurant busy. And you know, a restaurant opens in the first 3 months, it's always busy. Piece of my heart now is pumping and it's not due to anything other than everyone's a bloody food critic in the first 3 months. Everyone's coming.
They want
to
go try it out, tell their friends.
Yeah, and I knew I couldn't do that without anyone really, really good. So I needed someone. And it was funny, Anna and I went to market and I said, listen, I've got this idea for a restaurant. She said, I've got this idea too. Cool. And we both had our eye on the same property.
Wow, 197 Brand. Right.
We couldn't believe it. It was quite a shock. And then Brandon Robertson came on and voila, it opened. My dad said, let's do this. How much do you need? How much you got? So he put in $291, Anna put in $291, and we opened. Yeah, okay, so, it was time.
Yeah, so half a mil all that time ago. Nowadays, is it more expensive or less expensive to open a restaurant?
It depends what you want to do. I think I've learned a lot since the Corner Cafe, although Corner Cafe was beautiful, don't get me wrong. I loved it. And for my first restaurant, I wouldn't have done it any other way. But when I opened Love Coffee on Windermere Road, that cost me $320,000.
That's actually more than I was expecting, but it's like, because it's such a small shop and it's condensed, but the fittings are really good.
It's a beautiful shop. It still looks good. The light box, all that thing on the blue on the exterior was money well spent because it still looks good. The exposed rafters and the best coffee machines, that bar counter has got 3,000 screws.
Okay.
Made by Dave Lehman. It's ridiculous. Then when I opened Coffee Tree, that was just under 70,000.
Are you not? Is Love Coffee no longer?
No. I kept the Corner Cafe and Jeannie got Love Coffee.
Okay.
Since then she's done very well with it. She's opened another one and she's got the mobile thing. But I don't want to punt her business down, but she's doing too well. She's doing well. But Coffee Tree was for like just under 70. Just under 70,000.
Okay. And so with the
with everything containers in, and no, no, that's no, prep room.
That's prep room, sorry. Yeah, I'm confused there.
Millions. And that wasn't my money.
Yeah. Oh, clever.
Yeah. So
copy to the one up the top there.
Yeah, corner of Cato and Alan Payton.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's doing the same numbers as Love Coffee, but costs a third of the price.
A third, sorry, less.
A lot less.
Yes, how much did you say that was?
That was 300, this was under 70.
70, that makes sense looking at the shops, but I thought you said 700 for some reason, that's why I was thinking of the prep room, because oh, that would make sense.
No, the prep room was millions, was literally, the foundations alone was a bar, I think.
Well, that school's got the money, so good.
No, it was two investors who did it, and the school helped with the foundations, you're right there. I think, why small? I think small works. Small's easy to fill, you know. To fill the Corner Cafe in 2015 was hard. You know,
how many seats was that?
85.
But you guys became known for, you know, being a regular spot to go to, like for entertainment as well as good food.
Yeah, we had the bingo, we had comedy nights, Who's Line. It was good, but it was, I think it was a little bit too low to open at night, and the rent was too high not to.
Okay.
So it kind of, it was also came at the end of Corner Cafe came, I was getting a divorce, it had been open for 8 years, it was the end of an era, and I think it was the right time to close it, although it was still doing well, you know, like camping, you leave in the day, you're having the most fun, so that was kind of the concept there.
Exactly, you don't allow it to go downhill, and then from there, it's given you that reputation for having successful restaurants, and it's kind of allowed the rest to, you know, have interest immediately. So now if you start something, people go, oh, it's Judd from, you know, Corner Cafe, from Coffee Tree, from all these things before, let's go check it out.
Well, I think definitely. We launched Love Coffee and Coffee Tree off the success of the Corner Cafe. So it's fine. It had to end somewhere. Although, you know, it was sad because it was my first. It was my baby. Yeah. But
and also, I mean, that menu was, you know, legendary.
One of the pizzas is the Corner Cafe pizza, and it's got that chicken sausage. We used to do chicken sausage pasta. Yeah. Oh, God. Now we put that chicken sausage on top of a pizza. It's my fave.
I still remember the chicken pesto.
Penne.
Yeah.
Oh, God. We used to pan fry that penne. It's a little bit crispy. Okay, another whole other conversation.
Yeah, man. So, but with new restaurants, new menus, that must be fun.
Yeah, it's always done. Like, what I found myself saying a couple times this week, and I've said it, I don't know if it was true when I started saying it, but I think it is true. I've chosen the easiest product.
A pizza.
To perfect. I really want to excel at it. I've got a trip booked at the end of September to Naples. I'm going to do a cooking course in Sicily and possibly another little one in Naples. And I want to learn everything about dough and Napoli and rice times and fermentation and
so it's not just yeast and dough chucked together.
No, it's not. And the Glenwood Bakery, Adam, you know Adam from the Glenwood Bakery.
Yeah, their pizzas are amazing.
Fuck, and he's also mad as a hatter. And I went in there a couple months ago, and I said, "How's it? Can we talk?" And he goes, "Don't tell me you want to open a pizza restaurant just up the road and take some of my business." I said, "Oh, yeah, I guess that's kind of it." He says, "And now you want my dough recipe?" I said, "How did you know?" He said, and he just shook his head, and he called over the lady in charge of the dough and said, "Show Jad what we do." And he has the file, open the file, take a photo of the recipes.
And that's amazing.
And that shit doesn't happen anywhere in the world. It really doesn't.
Yeah, people are super secretive over their special things that make their food, you know, theirs. But he obviously knows you're not going to copy him directly.
And I'm focused on families. He also...
Yeah, there's no space for families.
No, not there. And I went to him last week. I went there for coffee. I go there every Sunday morning for coffee. And I went in and he said, "How's it going?" I said, "Good." And he was like, "Is it really going?" I said, "Look, it's going really well." He says, "Well, it hasn't affected me, so great." I said, "No, it's super." And that's good. You know, we are two different styles. Mine's rising and puffy and doughy. His thin...
Okay. I haven't had one of your
pizzas yet. Mine's a Neapolitana style, so it's a thick... puffy, chewy crust. We've painted with garlic and olive oil, the crust. So that swells up. The base is very thin, though, but it's not the style like Scooters or anywhere where the crust is... Apparently, and that's what I'm going to go see in Naples, they don't even slice your pizza. It comes out whole with knife and fork. Mm. It can't be eaten. They actually roll it. It's not eaten so like we do. I think the westernized way has kind of really, really stuffed it up. I think we've got an understanding of pizza, which is fine. Everyone's broken down telephone. You know, enough years have passed for us not to...
But are you worried then that, like, say you go there, you find... You know, these new techniques, you bring them back to Durban and people are like, oh, this isn't the pizza we want.
Definitely. In fact, I was petrified on the first day because the first pizza that went out, it went out perfect. It went out like like the Coalition pizza. I couldn't compare us to anyone, but if I do, it's Coalition. And it was absolutely perfect. Little speckles of black on the crust, soft, gooey in the middle, fresh basil on the top, globs of olive oil all over it, and it came out perfect. And the first customer, I don't even know who it was, he looked at me and he goes, oh my God, it's real Neapolitana. And I'm like, fuck, you get it. He says, yeah, no, we've waited for this. And since then I've had a couple of Italians in and they're like, oh, okay. So now, well, fuck, and you can't even get out of the door, my head's so big. So I think, yes, I think we've got to be careful, and I started a bit conservative. I did a little bit more of a crispier base to keep it like that, but they're starting to cotton on. They're understanding that it's less toppings, quality toppings. Put everything into your prep so that you're getting the best possible Napoli, the best possible dough, the best yeast you're using, the right temperature, water. Put everything into it and the end product is noticeable, and I wouldn't even think
the right temperature water would matter, but obviously with yeast, like, it does.
Yeah, you've got to. It's got to rise, and then Adam showed me everything.
And then that's also cool, because then you are doing different pizzas to Glenwood Bakery, because there's our crispier, there's our, like...
Oh, yeah, and they're lovely. And if you want that style of pizza, that's...
Now you've got options.
And I crave it, too. I love their pizzas.
But
I generally go to Glenwood Bakery for pizza. I mean, it's...
Yeah, Glenwood Bakery and Park are such a delightful combo.
They're fantastic. Yeah, Eggs Benedict at Park is always the winner.
I'm a mushrooms on toast guy, but the Eggs Benny is also really good.
The Not So Benedict, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. And Glenwood, I think it was the first time anyone actually, like, they go to Adam and they're like, sorry, out of ciabatta. And he's like, yeah, I know. Like, shouldn't you make more? No, but I don't know. Then throw away some. No, it's finished. It's done.
Yeah.
And I think
there'll be more tomorrow.
Glenwood attracts that. The kind of the nature of our community is that they buy into it. Shit, he sold out. Well done to Adam. Instead of that, Lewis didn't make enough
bread.
Yeah,
you go to Glenwood Bakery on, you know, it used to just be Monday nights. Like, now they do pizza every night.
Yeah.
But, like, it used to be like sometimes it was too full. Done. Sorry.
You're turning away. I mean, to turn people away is a fantastic... When I wanted to do the pizzas on the grass at outside Coffee Tree 1, that was 3 years ago, and I went to him, I said, listen, you're doing pizza. I'd like to do pizza on the grass. And he goes, you want to do it on a Wednesday? I want to close the Wednesday nights. Great, we shook hands. You know, that's kind of...
That's how Glenwood works. Like, you know,
yeah,
there's community.
Me, what does it mean to be Glenwood? That's what it is. You know, Glenwood is... Everyone's willing to give you a bit of leeway, compromise. They said, no one just says no, you know? Which is, yeah, it's... I would never open something in Westville or even Morningside. You know, I'm home and I've got... That Coffee Tree 2 is just over the freeway, but it's close enough. You know, it's right there. I can reach it. But everything else is Glenwood, and everything else is staying Glenwood, you know. And I think it's enough now. I've got enough things to do.
It been like watching Glenwood grow? Because when you started Corner Cafe, it wasn't like this at all. I mean, Amsterdam wasn't even here. Like, that was...
When I was at Yossi's, it was only Yossi's.
It was Yossi's. Then I remember Pizzetta.
Even before Pizzetta was that...
Hemingway's. Yeah.
Then Pizzetta... Dave Hoffman used to chase prostitutes down this road with a broom. Literally down with a broom. So the Hoffmans made it. They did. I mean, we can say what you want. They were the ones who literally pioneered.
I don't really know them, so...
Yeah, Daryl Hoffman and I grew up together.
Yes. Okay, I know who Daryl is. He was the owner of Yossi's.
My brother says the only thing that's changed is he's got shorter.
Okay.
Over the years. So but Daryl Hoffman also was a bit of a pioneer. Look, he's ADD. He's off the wall.
I was
going to
say, a lot of people I know don't like him from working for him.
Oh, no, he's a doer. He came here to... he was with his girlfriend, Nicole, and on the way to movies, and he just wanted to pop in. I was managing, and he said, I just want to, how's it going? Cool, yeah, cool. Like, he was there for 2 hours. He forgot his girlfriend in the car with the movie tickets. She just left him. He's like that.
She just went to watch movies alone.
Yeah, and that was, I think, you know, the NSA was here before.
Yes.
But I think the Yossi's was the first little... Who had that
before, Andre?
No, it's Ralph and Andre had it.
It was Ralph and Andre. Yeah.
I think they started it, yeah. Had a lot started. I mean, the Cafe Society started from that. I think it started from there, yeah. Look, it's spawned a whole group of people, a whole generation of restaurateurs and artists and... Yeah.
But you could never have seen like this.
I guess it would be this big. I mean, now you can't park on we've got almost the same amount of restaurants you do on Florida Road in this little suburb.
Yeah, and like on this tiny road. Because I live on the restaurant road in Glenwood, yeah. And it's like, yeah, like when people are like, do you have parking? I'm like, just catch an Uber. Like, trust me. Like,
yeah, you don't want to park, yeah. And that's why I think Peace of My Heart is working too.
It's just off
150 meters on either side of the road is parking, you know, and that's cool. It might be a little bit saturated, this road now, but again, you know, people are learning, you know, catch an Uber.
Yeah, but that used to be Earth Mother Organic there. Like, what made you pick that spot? Because, I mean, obviously they moved for a reason.
It was the same landlord as the Corner Cafe, John Hutting, House Proud. And we used to clash in the old days. But I think
of course, you're going to clash with your landlord.
Yeah, but I didn't really clash with anybody. Anyway, it was just a case of I thought I was paying too much and usual.
Of course.
Everyone, as usual, universal problem. But he came to me about 6 months ago and he said, listen, the Corner Cafe, we need something there. The guy's coming to the end of his lease. I said, okay, cool. And there was an NGO who wanted to take it. And eventually the pet shop went in. That was fine. He said, but there's another one, 106, the first Earth Mother, that's been vacant for 2.5 years. And I said, well, I've got a concept, but I don't have the money. He said, no, okay, so how much? I said, oh, yeah, roughly this. He said, cool. I said, well, listen, we've had problems in the past about money, so let's sit down now and just
actually
bring a family member. I'll bring one of my family members, and I will tell you that I've got no money to put into this venture. And then you will say, and then we've got witnesses. We laughed. We did exactly that. And he has literally paid for absolutely everything. So he's a partner, and we will see how it goes after 3 months' time. Either I buy him out, or we don't know. We'll see. It's all done on trust. Again, Glenwood,
yeah.
And he's put all the money in, and if he doesn't pay my salary, I'll pick up take the sign off the wall and I'll walk out. You know, it won't get to that though, because it's all down on paper, and we'll just see how it goes. But it was the pizza on the grass kind of outgrew it. It was Wednesdays and Fridays, and if it rained 2 Wednesdays in a row, it actually affected
your turnover
for heavily, you know. So I needed a house. He came to me at the right time. It just worked. Just clicked. Everything fell into place. I had the oven. He had all the equipment. In fact, funny enough, the mixer we're using to mix dough with, I bought in 2007 for the Corner Cafe. It came out of the Corner Cafe into the new shop. That's my table legs. It's some of the chairs. It's the frying pans I bought from W.L. Cole. It's crazy. It's my first restaurant and my last restaurant is using the same equipment. So it's cool. From that point of view, it's very green, as well as, you know, locally grown flour, locally produced cheeses. We're burning wattle and invasive blue gum. It is the greenest possible thing I can. When the power goes off, we're stoked. Don't need it.
You don't need it?
No, okay. We've got lights that are plugged in now, so when the power goes off at 2 again.
Oh, is it 2 fine. Again today?
I think it's 2 to 4. No, it's cool. Politics and Peace of My Heart don't need power.
That's dope.
So excited, man.
That's actually great. So when I've got load shedding, I can come over for lunch.
Yeah, you can come over. Come for pizza.
Because, yeah. One of the things I wanted to ask, who did the jungle gym there? Because that is an outrageous outdoor play area.
No, like, my daughter, I didn't want a jungle gym and the usual shit. I wanted an obstacle course, and I wanted something that they could time themselves on.
Okay.
So I got my 7-year-old and Pinterest open on the iPad, and I let her choose 5 obstacles, and that's what it is basically. The floor is lava, you're not allowed to touch it, and
that's kind of what I got from that. Yeah, there's lots of things to jump to.
It's all the rage now. It's lava, you're not allowed to touch the ground. So there's balance poles and rocks, and you're going to go over the little bridge with the net to get over the pond. And then I've put this twisted commando netter, there's no real good way of getting across it. Just got to really... there's that education concept whereby if you... The monkey bars strengthens your core, and the kids with weak cores are failing. The kids with strong cores are doing well. They can sit up, they can focus.
Okay.
So that was the concept on my kid.
Well, it's also just in general exercise.
Yeah, it's good. It's that or an iPad, going. You know? So, yeah, it's very simple, but it's sturdy as hell. And it's also... There's no railings. There's no soft edges. If you fall, you're going to hurt yourself.
Yeah.
And I say that to them. We're actually getting a sign made saying, for God's sake, don't go in there. It's off limits. So if you do fall off that thing, it's not my fault.
I was going to say, isn't that like a worry? But then obviously...
It's a big worry, but it is. It's, you know, I think I'm new to the parenting thing. And I think when I look around, we're raising a softer... I'm terrible, Riley. You're too high up. Yeah, when we used to lift on the front of a bicycle going 80.
Yeah, I've fallen out of trees, like onto my head.
But ask the kids. The kids are generally not falling out of trees, you know. Listen, it's dangerous. You don't want anything to happen. But Riley, I put Riley into a bath the other night at 9 o'clock at night on Friday night. She had so many cuts and nicks. I had to hold her under the water and put a little bit of deadline. Yeah. Because of the jungle gym area, and it's got all this... She got splinters and she's...
But that was the sign of a good day.
Like she got this grin on and the bath looks like soup.
Yeah, because it's just...
And she's got leaves in her hair and twigs and stuff like that. And she's full. She's content. She's had a relatively healthy meal that's not carb fried. And
I mean, it's not the healthiest, but it's healthier.
It's not the healthiest, but it's... Yeah, it's... It's better if you wash it down with a waffle.
Yeah, all the flour is probably not the healthiest thing. But you, like, for you, do you worry about that? Like, with diet and stuff? Are you, like, do you eat too much because of thing? Do you have to watch how you eat?
Oh, definitely. I didn't take into consideration two things. One is the amount of wheat I was going to eat. I mean, we've been open for 17 days, and I've had a minimum of 2 pizzas for 17 days in a row.
Fuck.
That's bad, bro. I can feel I'm fat. That's fine. I'll sort that out next week. But the other thing is a glass of wine or two.
Because you're open at night now.
Yeah, no, you know.
So it's not just the coffee. It's
like your coffee and the wine and the pizza. But I've just got the banting bases arrived this morning. So we'll start eating a little cleaner. And it's also, you know, when it's mass produced, we're making it ourselves, we're adding the yeast. It's a much it's cleaner than buying a store-bought pizza base.
You're not using white flour.
We're using the good stone. It's locally ground, locally grown. It's stone ground. It's a much better product. So I'm not too worried about that. It's the drinking. I need to slow down. It's only 2 or 3 glasses of wine after 1 or 2 beers that I think is the problem. I need to stop.
That's always been my, worry. Well, not always. It's been my worry as I've gotten older, because I want to have my own comedy club. That's something... I've always wanted to have a venue, but as it's gotten older, a comedy club seems like the way I would go. But that's the thing. Every night, you're at it. Like, I already hate that about comedy when, I'm doing, my week runs in Joburg and stuff. Every night, you're out at a bar having beers. It's hard not to. It's hard... Because you're socializing with everyone and I get, for some people, oh, just don't drink, but it's difficult.
It's almost impossible.
Because it's the social lubricants and your job is to be social.
Cocaine.
I don't know if you're ever too old to do cocaine, but there's definitely an age where it starts killing.
No, it's enough, no. It's embarrassing. You're hard if you can't do it anymore.
Yeah, that's definitely a restaurant life thing as well. Yeah.
That's why I close at 8, you know. You wouldn't even do the first line before 9, so it's better... but I think if you've got to watch that, but why don't you come do a comedy thing there?
We've got one of those.
Oh, is this a different chat?
We will have the chat off cast, but we can definitely do something.
Start off small and see how it goes, but life's good, eh?
Yeah, it seems like it's very good for you.
Yeah, it is.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks. It was fun.
A lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.